When the European Union called for a drastic increase in renewable energy 6 years ago, it was the beginning of a boom for a new source of energy, wood pellets. The industry took off in North Carolina, and it was hailed as a carbon-neutral industry because forests are, in fact, renewable. But burning wood actually produces more carbon than burning coal, and that raises questions about whether producing and burning wood pellets is environmentally friendly. WUNC environment reporter Dave DeWitt has been following the story and joins me now on The State of Things. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Frank.
How did this industry take off so quickly?
Well, as you mentioned, it was really the European Union's doing. In 2009, they passed a policy that has now become known as the 2020 policy for reducing greenhouse gas emissions. It set as goals a 20% reduction in carbon emissions, a 20% use of renewables for electricity production, and a 20% increase in efficiency. And this spurred a lot of utility companies in Europe, most notably Drax in the UK, to convert several of their coal-fired plants to wood burning. They needed fuel, so they started looking around for wood that they could get, and they started looking to the southeast United States.
How does this meet those goals? As I said, that wood is actually dirtier than coal. What's at play here?
Well, what you mentioned is true. It's seen as a renewable resource. So if you take wood, and this was supposed to be designed to be wood waste and the parts of a tree you wouldn't necessarily be able to turn into anything else that would just be sitting out there in the field after you're done, branches and the tops of trees. You take that, turn it into wood pellets and burn it, and then trees regrow where the trees were cut. So that carbon debt that you're burning up through the smokestack gets absorbed by the new forests, and young trees absorb more carbon than mature trees. So the thought is you're actually going to be able to pay down that carbon debt pretty quickly. What's happened is something much different. Instead of being able to use that wood waste, because there's just simply not enough of it, and you can't use wood from the forests of Europe because there aren't enough of the trees there, and because they have very strict regulations that if you take down a tree, you have to replace that tree. That's not true elsewhere. They had to look elsewhere. The southeast United States was sort of the closest area they could, but of course, cutting down trees, transporting them over there, the manufacturing process itself as well, that releases a lot of carbon as well, transporting large amounts of wood pellets across the Atlantic.
So it's interesting that you point out the fact that in Europe, not as many trees, obviously, and the fact that in the United States, also the regulations aren't as strict. This is a kind of the Wild West when it comes to that sort of regulation. So this is a great place for them to come and get their wood, huh?
Yeah, the Wild West in that there's a lot of personal responsibility. People are trusted to do this without a lot of government input. So here in the southeast United States, if I'm a family and I own a tract of forest land in eastern North Carolina, I can do pretty much whatever I want with that forest land. If I cut down the trees and decide not to replant, I don't have to. Now, most people do simply because if you can grow trees and trees are sort of your crop, you get it thinned and then you get it cut every 25, 30 years if it's softwoods, then you can replant those trees and you get income from that land as well. But that doesn't stop you from turning the land over into developments or other things. You can do pretty much what you want. That is good if you're trying to get a fuel source started, because now if you can develop it here in eastern North Carolina, then you know you're going to be able to have it going on as long as you create a good market for it.
We are talking about the wood pellet industry in North Carolina and its environmental sustainability today on The State of Things. Well, you spoke with Bill Schlesinger, the former dean of the School of Environment at Duke University, about the differences in wood when producing wood pellets. Let's listen.
Not all biomass is created equal. I'm fully in favor of using wood waste from construction and pallets from shipping, even rapidly regenerating plantation forests. You know, that's fine.
So in other words, initially, I guess the plan was not to use whole trees, but to get waste wood, old pallets, old construction material, and that sort of thing. Why aren't we doing that?
Well, that was the European Union's intention, was to have this be done in this way, that whole trees would not be used, because that doesn't make any sense, and we got plenty of wood waste. Well, of course, the industry grew faster than I think a lot of people thought it might. So they started to have to use whole trees to fulfill their orders to fulfill these wood pellets, and that makes a big difference. Now, if you go to the plants in Ahoskie or Northampton, North Carolina, you see whole trees. Now, they're not those sort of pristine, large, you know, whole trees that you can use for lumber and furniture and other, you know, uses, and it still doesn't make any sense because you can sell those trees for a lot more than you can to make wood pellets. But you see these sort of twisted old trees. Some of those are softwoods, but a larger proportion of those are hardwoods, and that then plays into paying back that carbon debt, because hardwoods take 75, 100 years to grow back instead of the 20 or 25 years of a softwood pine tree. And that's why you see these pine plantations all across North Carolina, because they regrow so quickly. But if you're using hardwoods, now you're burning it and you're not paying off that carbon debt nearly as quickly.
So you're not building, rebuilding or replenishing as quickly, and the whole tree is dirtier than a processed bit of wood. So you've got all that going. And Viva is a company that operates two wood pellet operations in eastern North Carolina. What kind of wood does Enviva use in its pellets?
Well, the reason we know what kind of wood they use is because they had to transfer some documents to Drax, that utility company in the United Kingdom, and because the United Kingdom has to tell the European Union where this wood is coming from. So we know that about 85% of the wood in Ahoskie and 100% in Northampton, those are the two North Carolina plants, use hardwoods, these sort of, you know, hardwoods forests, whether it's ash or whatever kinds of wood it is. And every once in a while, they're using what's called bottomland forest wood. Now, that isn't used a lot, but that's the forests that are near, rivers and estuaries in North Carolina, and really create a diverse ecosystem. And that's the kind of wood that environmentalists really don't want used.
Well, Enviva says it's going to spend $5 million over the next 10 years on environmental protection grants, right?
It is. And what they're doing is protecting these bottomland forests, four very specific areas of these bottomland forests, nowhere near all of it, but they want to protect these. Enviva is a company that has been, embattled a little bit. They're taking some hits on this, and they're saying that they're going to be sustainable. They're saying they want to go that way. They're also creating a system that will track the wood that comes to them, and they call it trace and track, and they'll be able to see where this wood comes from.
You spoke with Kent Jenkins, a spokesman for Enviva, and here's what he said about the program.
We cannot solve every problem facing the forest of eastern North Carolina, but we want to make sure that we are doing all we can to protect sensitive environmental areas.
So what are Enviva's plans for expansion?
They've got three proposed plants in North Carolina, several dozen across the southeast. They're opening a port facility in Wilmington next year. This is an industry that's only going to get bigger.
All right. And briefly, though, these environmental concerns, is there pushback, and is there any chance that it might be cut back, this whole industry?
Well, the EU can change this policy whenever they want. They can reclassify this renewable resource in wood, and suddenly that industry would be changed pretty dramatically, and environmentalists are pushing for that.
Dave DeWitt, WUNC's environment reporter. Thanks very much, Dave.
Thanks, Frank.
Just ahead, a new one-man show brings Charlie Chaplin's infamous tramp character back to life. You'll hear about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.